for a message of the morning. You can turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39, and we're going to pour a well-known account this morning for a message. And we're going to take the life of Joseph, and I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of the life of Joseph. There's so many accounts in his life that we could take and we could make a message out of this morning. You know, here was this young man that his brothers didn't like him. Here's the young man that his brothers finally threw him into a pit. And they wanted rid of him. And they sold him down to Egypt. So our mind goes to that and his upbringing. Or we can go to when he's down in Egypt there and he's working in Pharaoh's house. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is this part of his life, is when he's facing temptation and trials in his life with Potiphar's wife. Or we can think later, if you think of Joseph, maybe you think of later on in his life. When he's after he's in prison and he comes back out and his brothers are there. Those ones that sold him into Egypt. And you could maybe pull a message on his forgiveness of them. But this morning we're going to take an account from chapter 39 of Genesis. And we're going to think about Joseph as he was facing this trial in his life. I've titled the message, Joseph, Faithful in Temptations. Joseph, a man who came through trials in his life triumphantly. He was victorious. I think of this message and I think of our, you know, those words that he said there in verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, and I think about that, those words, and maybe that's partly what helps spring this message forth. We're coming to a time of the year when there's so much immodesty about us. Or maybe it don't need to be in the world about us. We have smartphones. We have all kinds of other devices that you can get in trouble on. And it burdens my heart to think about it. Because I've been there. Brothers and sisters, we too will fall if we don't have what Joseph had here in his life. Joseph had trials, same as we do. He had temptations, same as we do, but he came through victorious. We need to realize temptations are not sinful. You may say, well, what do you mean by that? So I was studying, I came across that statement. We might need to realize temptations are not sinful. It's not wrong to be tempted. Because temptation makes you stronger. It brings you to a decision point in your life. Which way are you going to go? Temptation, I found this quote, temptation is a tempter looking through the keyhole into the room where you're living. It's sin when you're drawing back the bolt and makes it possible for him to enter. There's temptations in our lives, brothers and sisters, that we need to stand up against. But if Satan can make you feel that temptation is wrong, you're going to live in defeat because you're going to feel like you're overwhelmed. You're always in defeat. No, it's what are you doing with the temptation? That's a burden we have. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Are you searching out that way of escape for your temptations that come your way? Let's look at Joseph. I have the message divided into three different parts. As I think of Joseph in chapter 39 of Genesis, and I think we're going to start it out by taking the time to read a good bit of this chapter 39. Let's read Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Joseph was sold by his brethren. He was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and over all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath in my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garments, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garments in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me." And I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, they left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The first part of the message, I'd like to think about how Joseph's character is molded and what his character was as he was coming to face this temptation. I think there's a few key points in these first couple verses that we can draw a point from and look at in depth at Joseph's life. Everyone that was there, as we look at verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, And he was in the house of the master of Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. The glimpse I'd like us to get is that his master, the one that he was sold to, realized that this slave of his had something that he didn't have. He was serving a Lord, something that was controlling his life, that was not his master. It was not his master doing it. There was something different about Joseph. And the only answer he could come to was that God was with him. The master saw that the Lord was with him. What made Joseph? What brought him to the point that he left his family? He was sold. What kept Joseph strong? His trials in his life prior to it, I believe, had a strengthening effect on Joseph. He realized that he was taken from family, he was taken from friends, but he still had the Lord. He still had the Lord that he was serving. And he let it influence his life as a young man. You know, we could go back to, I'm just going to look at chapter 37, verse 2. You know, we know that when Joseph was at home, he must have had something to him. Because in verse 2, you know, Joseph's brothers were not doing as they ought to. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. No, I don't believe this was a tattletale where he went and hopefully dad sets them straight. No, I don't believe that. I think it was concern for his brethren. And I believe it affected his life as he thought, as he was planting seeds in his young heart. And he brought his brother's actions to light to his father because of his concern for them. If I place myself back in those young years of my life, so many times it's so much easier just to be quiet about things. Well, don't tell anybody, nobody knows, it don't hurt them. We forget that there's souls at stake, and it is sometimes there's times that we need to share and be open. Joseph, though, I believe, was planting seeds that had a concern. Joseph, in his younger years, planted seeds of feelings of love for people around him. He did what was right, no matter what the people around him did. His brothers were full of hate, jealousy, and envy. He also was a young man of openness. He told his brothers his dreams. He just shared it with them. I believe he lived life that way. He was a young man that lived life in the open. But it was molding his character. The question that comes to us, though, what for character am I molding today? Whether I'm a young man, young sister, maybe I'm in the older years, in the battle, in the middle of the trials, have I left my character slide? In chapter 39, we also see Joseph serving giving up of self. He's still molding his character. He served not for his personal gain, but he was just filling his calling, doing the best he could. Question to us is, how am I filling our calling that God calls me to? You know, today we're called to be workers in Christ's vineyard. As Joseph called for his brothers and tried to help them, so we today are to be workers in God's vineyard, calling men. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whether it's in physical work or what it is in your life, do it as in you're calling people to the Lord. Do it as it's your most important thing is to God. And we're doing what we're called to do because we want to please Him and give it our lives to Him. Where am I at in my life? Am I building a character like Joseph did? Am I letting the little trials in life mold me into something more? Something more useful for God's kingdom. Let's go to the second part of the message. I've titled this part, Joseph Faces Trial. You know, his character is starting to be molded. His character has grown to this point. He's a young man. He has red blood flowing through his veins. He has all the temptations that you and I have. He works. He's a slave. His master has bought him and has trusted him to the point that he has turned everything in the house over to him except for his wife. His wife starts to tempt him. What a low place to tempt a young man. But you know, Satan does it today every time. He can get a word or get a trial in our life edgewise. He tries to hit us at the lowest place he can. If Joseph wouldn't have been faithful in the small trials in his life, if Joseph hadn't found victory and forgiveness to his brethren, if Joseph hadn't been totally committing to following his Lord, and following what was asked of him, I think the outcome of this temptation would be different. I've found in my own life, if I hold one little area that I don't turn over to Christ, if I hold one little area, that I'm not living in victory. You can be sure when a big trial comes, and I call it a big trial, all trials are big if we choose wrong. But when the temptation gets really strong, and the trial gets really strong, if we weren't victorious in other areas of our life, we can hardly expect to be victorious in the big ones. Yes, today temptations can come from unexpected sources. I don't know whether Joseph thought that this was going to be a temptation to him and as he's working there or not. But if you read this passage, you find out that Somewhere along the line it started. He realized that there's something going on with this woman, that his master's wife, that is not as it ought to be. And I believe Joseph realized it and he put himself in guard against it. But you know, it was in his normal daily routine. He was coming in to do the work. I don't believe he thought it was going to be the day that the big trial was for him. You know, Potiphar's wife kept after Joseph day after day. And then finally it reached to the point where she was going to have her way. Brothers and sisters, we must be diligent at all times. Satan don't care when he gets you or what time of the day he gets you, whether as a young man, middle-aged, or older. He don't care. We have that adversary, the devil, that's walking about as a roaring lion. He's just looking for who he can devour. May it not be us. Well, as we look at Joseph facing trial, he was a man that came through victorious. Why? Because he was living in victory in his life, in all areas of life. You know, he didn't think there was any music. He wasn't thinking about his life and saying, well, there's some music over here I listen to that nobody needs to know about it, and hid it underneath the car seat or wherever it is. Slide it underneath. Nobody knows about it. It's all right. When the big temptations come, though, I'll be strong. It isn't that movie that he was watching and feeding on and then thought sometime that I'll be strong when the big temptation comes. He was victorious day by day. There was nothing standing between him and the Lord. That's how we have the ending of what happened in Joseph's life. He faced the trial. The trial was there. Nobody else was in the house. Him and this woman. But he realized the fact that he's not very far from the Lord. The Lord sees everything. And he says that statement there, his words, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It don't matter whether anybody else in the church knows about it. God knows about it. God does. We must live life in the awareness that every temptation, no matter where we are, every trial that we have, whether we gain victory or fall on it, God knows. God knows. He knows what you're choosing to do with your life. He knows which choice you're making. We'll be judged by it. It's a serious, serious thought to think about. Joseph knew that this sin was going to stand between him and his Lord. The same as what Joseph, I believe, knew that any other time when he chose to not forgive was going to stand between him and his Lord. But what did Joseph do? As Joseph was facing trial, and he was put to the test there in verse 8, 9, 10. You know, he left his coat. He gave up his coat.
I've got to get out of here.
Would to God sometimes we'd have the power to lay down our smartphone. Would to God we'd have the power to look the other way. Would to God we had the power to destroy all our movies that we have. Would to God we'd have the power to destroy all the music we have. Brothers and sisters, I was there one time in my life. The addiction that can be in that. You're going to have to come clean. You're going to have to make a clean break if you want victory in your life. Leave the coat behind. Leave whatever it takes. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Excuse me. Take that verse and put it in the Amplified. It has this thought in it. And I'd like to just highlight it here. Flee fornication, as it talks about every sin that a man doth is without the body. It says this, flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Flee it. Where are you going to be when you face trial today? How are you doing? The world around us is full of trial. Two quotes I ran across. The man who is suddenly overpowered by temptation has probably been dreaming about it for a long time. When it finally comes to light and someone else knows about it, your failure, your mind has probably been going there a while before. Brothers and sisters, let's keep track of our minds, what we're feeding into it. The second quote, nothing makes it easier to resist temptation than a proper upbringing, a sound set of values, and witnesses. Are you happy? Are you thankful for the upbringing you had? Are you thankful for the values that your parents have strived to instill into you? Parents, are you instilling those values into your children? And the last one in that quote is witnesses. Flee those places where you know it'll be a temptation. Run away from them. Flee them. You say, well, just running away is going to be weakness. It's better to flee than to fall. Yes. The third point of the message. Let's look at Joseph as he's the overcomer. You know, Joseph overcame his trial and his life at this point. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Not sure where to bring this thought into it, but I'm going to do it right now. Psalm 51 and verse 4. Joseph made the statement, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because he realized that there was a God in heaven. that he was going to sin against if he committed sin here on this earth. David also fell into sin with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 51, verse 4, he makes a statement, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." David realized that he sinned against God. He's calling out for God for mercy. Question. Was it only against God that David sinned? No. David sinned against Bathsheba. Bathsheba, her husband Uriah, David's family and the whole nation. But David looked at it all and he said, "It's ultimately I sinned against God. I need to clear it up back there. I need to go make it right. But I sinned against God. I need to get that relationship with God as it ought to be." Joseph the overcomer realized that the sin that he was tempted with was going to be between him and his Lord. Well, Joseph the overcomer, you know, he was stripped out of his coat, but he wasn't stripped out of his character. Yielding to temptation would have stripped him of everything, even his character. It does no different for us today, brothers and sisters. It does little or nothing to raise you to someone that others will look up to and admire. Joseph was more important about his integrity than the lust of his flesh. And he realized that he had to flee to get over that. You know, today, sometimes I think we stay around too long just to wonder if we're not strong enough to make it through. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6. There's a couple verses I want to read from 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 6:18. I read that already, but I want to read it again. Flee fornication. Because I want to pull out that phrase in there. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Let's jump over to chapter 10 and verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. There's twice in 1 Corinthians that the mention is made that you need to flee. Put some distance between you and what's standing is going to stand as a temptation between you and your Lord. You know, we could turn to the passage where it says, "If thine arm offend thee, cut it off." And you know those verses well. Do what it takes to be overcomers. Have you ever sold a truck or something because it was an idol between you and the Lord? Flee idolatry. You know, we live in America, this land of plenty, and some things get pretty important to us. We can get pretty attached to them. You know, we need that big paycheck. We need the Well, the list goes on and on. We want them because what are people going to think? And it can tend to, that money can tend to become a barrier between us and our Lord. God help us to flee the temptations that come. Chapter 10, verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." I love that verse. God always provides the grace and the strength you need to get through victorious. Just the same as He did for Joseph. There was a way out. Joseph the overcomer, if he had yielded to the temptation that he was placed in here, I believe Joseph would have been at the most a slave in his master's house. He also, there's a good chance that he might have been sold out and been gone. To live the life of a slave in that time. But do you think Joseph ever looked at his temptation and the way the outcome was and says, "If I was placed in this dungeon, I was placed in this prison, what should I have done differently?" I don't believe Joseph looked back to that. Joseph, the overcomer, realized that he had made the right choice at the right time. God had seen fit to place him in this jail cell. How do I get those thoughts? What did Joseph do in the jail? The jailer started trusting him. The jailer soon realized, here's a man that serves. His agenda was different from the normal people that come to the jail. He's one you can trust. And the jailer exalted him. And Joseph served the Lord faithfully in that jail, free from the temptation that was placed before him, that placed him there. Joseph, I believe, used it as a time to rebuild his life and his relationship with the Lord. So later, when these two men are in the jail and they need to know what their dreams meant, it's troubling them. These two men that were placed underneath his care, they had his troubling dreams. What do they mean? Joseph said, bring it to me. My God's the one that reveals dreams. His relationship was still there with his Jesus, with his Lord, who he was serving, even in that jail. He used it as a time to strengthen his life, not to question why the Lord has led him there. Romans 12, 13, verse 14, a few thoughts in closing. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Put on Jesus in your life. Give your life totally in service for Him and to reach other souls that are out there. Make no provision for yourself and for your flesh to fulfill the lusts that the old man within us is. Make no provision for it. Story is told of a boy that was told by his father not to go swimming. "Son, you're not to go swimming." When his father caught him in the water, the boy says, "I didn't mean to do it." You know, so often that's can apply to us. The father asks the boy, then why do you have your swimsuit with you? The little boy's reply was, I brought it along in case I was tempted. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't put yourself in a place where it's easy to fulfill it. Be open and accountable. Have those witnesses that we talked about in that other quote that I shared. Have those witnesses close. Be open with your brotherhood. Well, we know the Lord was with Joseph every step of the way that he went. As he worked up to that trial, as he went through the trial, and as he was living in the results of his victory in the trial, as he was living in that jail, in that prison, the Lord was with him, and the Lord prospered him in that prison. Question we'd like to leave with us is, am I or are you going to be faithful whatever the cost is? Later on in Joseph's life, he faced his brethren, the ones that had placed him there. He forgave them, and I believe he had forgiven them before this account took place. Forgiveness was already given to them because God had brought him hither. God had led him where he was. God had brought him to the dungeon there and to the prison. Joseph didn't know the whole story. We do. We know that Joseph came out of that prison. He was placed as one of the head rulers there, next under the king. Brethren, can you and I see the trials of our life that God brings into our lives? Can we just somehow get a vision of God and His purpose in our life? And how we are just called to be overcomers today. How we are called to live life for God and follow Him where He takes us to. Just be victorious. Pull out all stops. Let nothing be in the way for me and my victory in my Lord. Because the trials of our life might be just stepping stones that God's using to bring about a purpose in your life. He sees the overall picture. He sees everything that's happening. He wants to work a work in your life and in mine. Let's be victorious. Let's be a Joseph in 2019 and 2020 and however long time lasts. How am I responding to trials in my life? How are you responding to trials in your life? Are you victorious? Are you overcoming? I trust you are. Have you pulled out everything and laid it all out and said, there's nothing that's going to hinder when the trial comes? Let us kneel for prayer.